proper to quote psukim out on invitation based on a gemara that people are going to throw the invitation out in the garbage. So if you're going to have a pasuk, the shem shamayim is going to be mutal ba'ashpa. That the loshon gemara, even if you don't have shem Hashem on it, but still you're going to have a pasuk. So that's not proper. How much of a pasuk do you have to quote that it should be an issue? So that's a machlokes in the gemara in the first parak in Gittin, whether what's considered the beginning of a quotation. 3 consecutive words or 4 consecutive words. But a lot of people have more than 4 consecutive words. They have 4, 5, 6 consecutive words. So that's not proper. You shouldn't put psukim on an invitation. A lot of people like to send out invitations and fancy ksav ashuris, the script of the Sefer Torah, so that's questionable. And the collection of letters that they have from the Chassam Sofer's family. So the Chassam Sofer wrote in a letter that the Ramon Yeridei in Hilchas Sefer Torah quotes a minhag from the days of the Rimgash that you shouldn't use ksav ashuris for secular purposes. So there are 2 versions of what the minhag is. So the Chassam Sofer says secular purposes means dibrei chol, but to use it for wedding invitations, that's a dvar mitzvah. So he had, they didn't print wedding invitations. He would pay a sofer to write wedding invitations in ksav ashuris. And the Ramah himself, when he publishes tshuvas, he writes in the tshuvas that he insisted that the tshuvas should be printed in Rashi script, because the minig is from the days of the Rimigash that you reserve ksav ashuris only for Tanakh, and you shouldn't use ksav ashuris even for divrei Torah. And many letters in the block letters are so similar to the ksav ashuris, it's as if you have ksav ashuris. So the Ramo wouldn't print he didn't want to use block letters for his tshuvas, for his shadows tshuvas haramo. The first time they printed the Ramo in block letters was Rabbi Ziv. He used to be my teacher in college here. He used to teach Tanakh in the college. He was a classmate of my father, passed away a long time ago. So he printed a new edition of the Shadus Tshuvas HaRamo, and he got the Pras HaRav Kook because he did such a wonderful job, and he made scholarly footnotes on the bottom of the page. And he writes in the introduction to his edition that this is the first time in the history that the Tshuvas HaRamo was printed in block letters against the wishes. He forgot to write, it's against the wishes of the Ramo. Ramo himself writes in the Tshuvas that he was makbid only to print it in ksav ashuris. So when I got married, my father-in-law made all the wedding invitations for his children in Rashi script, like this Ramo and the Tshuva, that you only use ksav ashuris for Tanakh, and for even for divrei mitzvah, even for shadus tshuvas, you print it in Rashi script. Okay, some svarim, Moshe Feinstein's tshuvas are printed in block letters, not printed in Rashi script. But it's not right to use ksav ashuris. The 2 parts to the wedding ceremony, you have erisin and then you have nisuin. Erisin is what we call kiddushin. In the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, there was a long pause in between the erisin and the nisuin. There was a half a year pause or a year in between. The erisin is either kesef shtar or bia. So the Gemara says, Rav would give makas mardis, Rav manger aman the mekadesh bia, so that's out of the question. So it's a toss-up between kesef and shtar. So the Rambam writes, in the very opening of Hilchas Ishus, the Rambam writes that Shtar, Kiddush Bia, Dvar Torah, and Kesef is Divrei Sofrim. And that's a big question. What does the Rambam mean by Divrei Sofrim? So there's a long Kesef Mishnah. He says the Rambam didn't mean to say, like some misunderstood, that Kesef is only Kiddush and Midirabbana. The Rambam meant to say that Kiddush and Kesef is only known for the Torah Shebaal Peh. And then the Rambam says that Kesef is only Divrei Sofrim. And then he says, from the choice of the 3, Kvanoga Kol Yisrael Kaddish B'Kesef. Meaning by the Jews is, as opposed to the non-Jews, meaning by the Jews is that we're Mekaddish B'Kesef. It's a very strange lotion. So what he probably is driving at is the following, that by the Karoim, the Rambam was fighting the Karoim in Egypt. And every so often there's a line in the Rambam that clearly is an attack against the Karoim in the Mishnah Torah. So the Karoim, there are 3 different groups of Karoim. Eretz Yisrael is now blessed with all the 3 groups of the Karoim. There were Karoim from Europe, from Asia, and from Africa. And they have slight chinuyim, which parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh they have thrown out. All 3 have Atzad HaShavah Shebehem, none of them have Kiddush HaKesef. That's for sure. So the Rambam writes, V'anogu Kol Yisrael HaKadosh B'Kesef. We have chosen Kiddush HaBia is out of the question, because Rav would give Makas Mardas, Haman HaMekadosh B'Bia. But why can't you be Mekadosh B'Shtar? So the Rambam says, Kvar Nogu Kol Yisrael Kaddish B'Kesef, we want to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. So we choose Dafke to be Mekaddish B'Kesef. In fact, the Pischei Tshuva in Eben Ezra quotes from the Mordechai that the meaning is we don't give Kish, we give Dafke Shove Kesef. Shove Kesef is Torah Shebal Peh on top of Torah Shebal Peh. That's on the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. Taisus and all of Rishonim discuss, how did the Gemara know that Shove Kesef is Kekesef? How do you know that Shove Kesef is also good for Kiddushin? The Rambam quotes from the Tikkuni Zohar, every so often the Rambam quotes from a Zohar, so Rambam quotes from the Tikkuni Zohar that the minig is to be Mekadosh with a ring. You want to be Mekadosh with something else is also good, but that's the minig, to be Mekadosh with a ring. In the Sefer HaChinuch he writes, the minig is to be Mekadosh with a ring so that when the girl walks around, everybody will see that she's taken. So they won't they won't ask her out for a date. No, the woman is married. Otherwise, how are they going to know whether she's married or not? So again, so the Kiddushin today, Eris and Kiddushin, same thing. The Kiddushin is done with Kesef. In the days of the Tanakh, and the days of the Gemara, there will be a long pause, 6 months, 12 months in between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. And in the days of the Gaonim, they saw that it's not a healthy practice, that the girl is an Eshesish, she's married, and she's not living with her husband, she's living by her parents. And if she's Mezana, she has an Issa Saita Labailam. So it's not a wise thing. So they moved up the Nisuin, so you have back-to-back Nisuin right immediately following the Erisin. There are differences. What's the difference during the period of Erisin and Nisuin? So the Gemara will always rattle off Liyosha Letamila Lahafa and the Derev. There are many more differences between Erisin and Nisuin. These are the three the Gemara will rattle off. Dagos Maimoni on the bottom of the Rambam quotes the minig that was instituted by the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi. In that period of time, they introduced the practice to read the Ksuba in between the Erisin and the Nisuin in order to waste a little time. Because in the days of the Tanakh and the days of the Gemara, there used to be a long pause of several months, 6 months, 12 months in between the Erisin and the Nisuin. And by Yos, the Goyne made it that it's back-to-back Nisuin immediately following Erisin to make a zeche to the fact that there used to be a long pause, so we have a hafsoke by reading the Ksuba. If a rabbi wants to hold a sermon under the chuppah, the best time to hold a sermon is then. If the chazan wants to sing a niggun, best time of some, our grandfather wants to hold a speech, so that's the best time to hold a speech. And when they read the Ksuba, some rabbis have the practice, they read the Ksuba quickly. The whole idea of reading the Ksuba is that you should read it slowly to make a pause, a hafsoka between the Eris and the Nisuin. The Gemara says that, Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Maseches Maaseh Sheni, that when a man gives Kiddushin to a woman, a man gives a get to his wife, you have to have Amira, he has to say Hariyat Mekudesh Esli. If you don't have Amira, so you don't know, so there's no Kiddushin. Unless it's Asukim Boso Inyan. Let's say they sent out wedding invitations and then they march down the aisle and she's wearing a gown like a kallah, he's wearing a top hat, whatever, a tuxedo. So obviously he's the chas and she's the kallah. So we assume that that's called Asukim Boso Inyan. The Rishonim had a machloikis whether Asukim Boso Inyan doesn't require Amira, doesn't mean only he was Asuk. The Chosin had said he's going to marry the girl, and then there was a pause. He didn't say a Turk de Dibra of giving the case of Kiddushin, or even Acherim Medabrim Mifneim, if other people said. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch Paskin is even Acherim Medabrim Mifneim is also called Asukim Boso Inyan. It's not that you need Amira. There are some who held, some Rishonim held, you need Amira. And Asukim Boso Inyan is a leniency, it's a kula that the Amira doesn't have to be Turka de Dibra of the giving of the ring. We don't hold like that. We hold if she's wearing the gown, he's wearing the tuxedo and the high hat, and they send out invitations, and it's obvious to everybody, all the guests came, it's obvious that they're getting married, so you don't need Amira at all. But the practice is that we do Amira, and then because the Gemara is not talking about a situation where they sent out wedding invitation, what it's talking about, a boy took a girl out on a date, and he gives her a ring, and she said, he gives her a bottle of soda, whatever, gives her something at Shabbat Pruta, and then after he gives it to her, then he says, Hare Mekudesh Esli. And she doesn't say anything. So if she says, thank you, I agree, I'll be happy to marry you, so it's Mekudeshes. But if you have, usually you have Shtika. Usually the Chosin says, Hare Mekudesh Esli, the Kala doesn't say anything. So that's, the Gemara says, that's acceptable if you have Shtika before Matan Mois. But what if first you had Matan Mois? First he gives her the bottle of soda on the date, or he gives her a sandwich, whatever, and then they're sitting down to eat the sandwich on the date, and then he says, Hare Mekudesh, sleep with the sandwich, and she keeps on eating. She doesn't say yes, she doesn't say no. So that's a Shaila Nigmar, Shtiga Lachem Atmah, is that good. So we're always makbid, you have to have the Amira Hareat should precede the giving of the Kesek Kedush. Truth of the matter is, Manazeh, we sent out wedding invitations, and she's wearing a gown, he's wearing a special suit. So you don't even need any Amira at all, but we're still makbid to do it. The Amira should precede the giving of the Kesef Kiddushin, like the Lechatchila should be the way the Gemara describes. The Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Samachay establishes the din that when you give Kiddushin, you have to have Eidus Lekim Adov. That's the expression that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik coined to explain what that din is, that if Kiddush Beinola Beino, if the boy gives a ring to the girl, says Hare Megadesh, but there's no one else watching, there were no kosher Eidim watching, so then the Kiddushin does not get off the ground, even though they both agree, even though they both admit that he was Mekadosh Elishem Kiddushin, the Eidus is Le'ikuvim. The Eidim have to be kosher Eidim. Kosher Eidim means they can't be Balei Avera, Al Tarshis Yadchem Rasha, Liyah Seit Chomas. Then the Gemara has that two kinds of Rasha. The Rasha and the Chumash is Rasha the Chomas, a person who cheats in business, a person. Strictly speaking, a person cheats on income tax. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Jewish people sitting in prison, very pious Jewish people sitting in prison who, because of Genevet, that's Mamish Posseladus. The Chassidish Rebbes who are sitting in prison are Posseladus. I remember I was once at a wedding, so they called up 280 Kiddushin. All the Kibbutzim were split 50-50 between the Chassan and the Kala. So the Chassan was from our yeshiva and the Kala was from the Aguda world. So they called me up, I should be one of the Eidim. Then they called up Achsidish Rav, not Achsidish Rav, Achsidish Rav. And he didn't go up. They're waiting and waiting, waiting, waiting. Shnir Kotler was Masadi Kiddushin. They couldn't split the Siddi Kiddushin. The boy had learned here, then he went to Lakewood to learn. So Shnir Kotler was Masadi Kiddushin, so he filled up the cup, he's waiting and waiting. Told me a long shtickle Torah under the chuppah, and the other guy still didn't come up. And after he passed away, I printed it in his name, the shtickle Torah that he told me. So then, someone else walked up, they called on someone else. The next morning, I saw Rabbi Herschel Schechter, used to be in the yeshiva, that's Rabbi J.J. Schechter's father. So he says, you know, last night at the wedding, I was standing next to Pliny. And I said, they called you up to be an aide, and he said, they can get another aide. So we didn't understand why not. So 2 days later, we understood. They had this picture printed in the first page of the New York Times. He was indicted for Ganevi Shishtik. He was cheating the government on lunch programs in his yeshiva that he has thousands of students. He had 5 students in yeshiva. He was taking fortunes of money from the government. So he's an Elch Aganav. He knew he was Pasolatus. Aganav is Pasolatus. So the Chumash has the din, Rasha de Chamas, a person. If a person cheats on income tax, unfortunately, so many people cheat on income tax a little bit here and there. So that's called Meira Heter. So you can't say that the guy's Pasolatus. The Gemara says that's considered the Ganef b'shegek. Even though everybody knows you're not allowed to cheat on income tax, but since everybody's doing it, even the senators are doing it, the president of the United States, everybody's doing it. So we say that they're not postulators. But if a guy is cheating in a big way, in a very big way, you can't say everybody does that, so then Ganef is postulators. Or the Gemara has a machlekes abaye v'rove, and we pass on like abaye b'alkegam, that's a rasha d'lav d'chomas. A person who, let's say, an honest person, he never cheats, but he's not a Shem Shabbos, and he doesn't keep kosher. And he doesn't, not that he violates Shabbos and kosher in order to make more money. No, just this is not, he never compromises on his principles, but these are not from his principles. He's not a religious person. So that's a machlokes abaye v'rove. And we paskin that a Rasha d'lav d'chomas is also postulated. So the Eidim have to be kosher Eidim, there shouldn't be Rishoyim. And there shouldn't be kraven. The Eidim can't be either related to the Chassan or to the Kala, or they cannot be related to each other. How far is related? How far is considered related? So the Beis Shmuel on the side of the Ebenezer quotes a Chumrah from the Achronim, that even this Chumrah, even up until the point of Revi were two Balki Ishtois. Two brothers are called Rishon Berishon. The two brothers have 2 children. So the first cousin, that's called Sheni B'Sheni. The first cousins have children, that's called second cousins, that's called Shlishi B'Shlishi. And the second cousins have children, that's called Revi B'Revi. So if you have 2 girls who are, what do we say, 3rd cousins. You have 2 girls that were 3rd cousins and they're both married, so their husbands are called Revi B'Revi with 2 Balki Ishtais. They may not even know each other. That may be the case. They may not even know each other. So that's a chumrah, that for Eidei Kiddushin and for Eidei Haget, you don't allow even Revi Bervi Betul Balkiyushtas, depending on what your alternative is. Let's say if the alternative is going to have to take someone who's not so religious, someone who's a little shady in his business dealings. So he's really puzzled. So don't go for the guy who's really puzzled. Take the guy who's a distant relative. No, that's a din of Mechal Shabbos, but for Hesi is dina ka'akum. That's worse. You can't be mitzar from to a minion. That's worse. So if he would be embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in front of the rabbi, so the Gemara says that that's called Mechal Shabbos Betzina. That doesn't have the din of dina ka'akum. But to be pasul ha'edus, you can be mitzar the guy to a minion if he's only Mechal Shabbos Betzina, not for Hesi. But to be kosher edim, you have to be Hashem Shabbos.
Why isn't having family in the crowd a problem?
They're
restarted to the Eidus. They're also
witnessing. Right. So Tosfos asks that kasha in a few places. We have a din of Nimtzechet ben Eidim Korba Pasul. So Tosfos says at every wedding and every get, you see, by us, at every wedding, there are a lot of relatives. Every get, all the whole family doesn't show up by the get. But by us, we have the kasha. Apparently, the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the whole family came showed up when they gave a get. That practice we don't have. But we have the Kiddushin. How can it be? So Tosfos answers, Tosfos has a chiddush. Tosfos claims this, says in the Gemara, this is the way they interpret the Gemara, Makas Davov, that Nimtza Echad Men Eidim Karav Apostle only applies by Eid HaMeid. When you had three or more witnesses who testified in front of Bezdin, and one of them is Apostle, one of them is a relative, one of them is a Rasha, so then even the testimony of the Ksherim is no good. But by Eid HaRoeh, if they were just watching, no one came to testify yet, so the whole din of Karav Apostle does not apply. That's what Tosfos answers. Mikra Din, that's the answer. The Ritva in Makkos and in Kiddushin and in Gittin, the Ritva quotes his Rabbeim, who said Tosfos is right in other cases, but by Kiddushin, since the Eidus is necessary, Lekiyam Adava, even Eid HaRoya should have the status of an Eid HaMeir. Because the reason why Tosfos says the Eid HaRoya, Karav Apostle doesn't apply to Eid HaRoya, is because the Pasuk says, Al pi shnei edim, al pi shlosh edim, yokum dover. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, why to say shnei edim, shlosh edim, to be makish shlosh lishnaim, that if shnaim nintz echem and karva pasi, you're left with an eid echad, so if you have shlosha, and one of them is a karva pasi, you're left with two edim, should have been good, so the din is it's no good. So that's the makar for the din of karva pasi. Makish shlosh lishnaim, that's the Mishnah in the first parak in makas. And the pasik says, yokum dover. So the Gemara says, bimikai medover akasim edaber. So Tosfos says they only accomplish when they come to testify. Eid HaRoya doesn't accomplish anything. Only Eid HaMeid accomplishes. So the Ritva quotes from his Rabbeim, but if your Eid is Lekiyam Adava by Kiddushin, you accomplish just by watching. So you want Mekayim Adava. That's Rab Chaim coined an expression, Eid is Lekiyam Adava. That's exactly Mekayim Adava. It's Eid is Lekiyam Adava. So how do you ever have a chasen? You should always have the din of Karav Apostle. So the Ritva quotes the Chumrah from his Rabbeim that you have to be Miyachad Eidim. What it means, miyachad edim, you pick two kosher edim, and they have in mind, we don't want to be mitztarif with anybody else. That's a Rabbi Soloveitchik formulated an expression in English. When he formulated this, Rabbi Soloveitchik was a European. He did not speak in American English. He spoke a highfalutin dictionary English, like a European. So when he formulated this nusach, he had that the chosen tells the edim, I designate you to be the Edom to the exclusion of all others. What do you mean to the exclusion of all others? You can't exclude the other Edom. I mean, you should exclude yourself of being mitzaref with the other Edom. It doesn't mean that the other Edom are no good. I was once at a wedding with, I don't know, I was one of the Edom, I don't know who the other Edom was. So when we sat down to eat by the meal, so I said, Shalom Aleichem to the other Edom, I'm the Chavrus of the Chosin. Who are you? He tells me he's the cousin of the Chosin. So I said, you can't be the chosin. You can't be a cousin if you're one of the Eidim. He says, he is a cousin. I don't know. He asked me to be one of the Eidim. So when the chosin came out from the Yichud room, I said, why'd you pick your cousin to be one of the Eidim? He says, he's a cousin from the mother's side, not from the father's side. The Rambam writes that a cousin, relatives from the mother's side, apostle midirei sofrim, whatever that means, Torah Shabbat Peh, whatever. But it's still apostle. Bottom line, it's apostle. So the chosin didn't realize that relatives from the mother's side are also apostles. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was not at the wedding, so he asked me to ask Rabbi Soloveitchik the next day, does he have to do over the Kiddushin or not? So Rabbi Soloveitchik asked me, were there other Edim, were there other kosher people standing under the chuppah? I said, yeah. Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld and Rabbi Grunblatt, all the rabbis from Queens, everybody was standing on the chuppah. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, "Shine, it's not a problem." When you say to the exclusion of all others, it doesn't mean you're excluding all the other Edom. No one else is kashulated. That's not what he meant when he formulated this nusach. He meant the Edom, the two kosher Edom that we're singling out, should have in mind. That's what the Gemara says. If they have in mind, we don't want to be mitzarf with the psulim. So then the din of karva pasul doesn't set in. You have to have, if you don't have two religious people, so the whole Kiddushin is worthless. The question is, are you doing the couple a favor or a disservice? Because so many people today are getting divorced. And then a lot of times they won't bother to get a kosher get. So maybe you're doing them a disservice by seeing to it that they should be edus under the chuppah to make it that the Kiddushin is chal. So you have to judge in the case, whether you're doing them a favor or a disservice.
When the one kosher aid had asked not to be mitzvahed with everyone else, then why isn't he? How are the two aidim mitzvahed?
Which two aidim?
How are two kosher aidim?
The people watching the chasen give the ring. We beikar adin, we pass them like Tosfos that you don't apply karva pasul to it ain haroya.
Even if the aidim had asked not to be mitzvahed?
Yeah. You don't need das. You don't have to be. You don't have to be miyachad edim. The Ritva came up. The Ritva quotes his Rabbein came up with this chiddush that by edus lekiyam adover it is mekayem adover kasam adam. So you should apply, even though we hold like Tosfos that by ed haroya there's no din of korav apostle, only ed ameid. But ed haroya by kedushin is mekayem adover. So there you should apply korav apostle to ed haroya. So the edim, the two kashanim, have to have in mind not to be mitzvah with the other. So lechatchila the shach and chosh mishpah quotes. You should be choshish for this ritual. But b'dieved, we really don't paskin like the ritual. We paskin like Tosfos.
If you did have das, not to be mitzvah,
you wouldn't be mitzvah. Yeah. You don't have to have das to serve as an aid for kedushin. You have to know in advance to have das. Yeah. So how far do we say that aidim apostles, so strictly speaking, let's say first cousins are apostolators, that's called sheni b'sheni. Two brothers are rishon b'rishon, and first cousins are sheni b'sheni. So strictly speaking, if you have two girls who are first cousins and they're both married, so the two husbands, that's called sheni b'sheni with two balki yishtoi. So strictly speaking, that's kosher. Strictly speaking, that's kosher. The Ramon chosher mishpat in Hilcha Seder says l'chatchili you shouldn't allow that in any shtar. L'chatchili shouldn't allow any shtar. The Vilna Gaon is not happy with that Ramon. Why not? The Ramon basically is quoting a Trumas Adeshin. You shouldn't allow two men who are married to two girls that were first cousins to each other. The sheni b'sheni with two balki yishtoi. Why shouldn't you allow it? Because chashina lebezin toim. Maybe some bezin will make a mistake and think the din is that it's possible. So the Vilna Gaon doesn't like that din. But all right, that's lechatchila. But that's as far as it goes. If you have a boy and a girl who are first cousins and the girl is married, so her husband together with the cousin, that's sheni b'sheni with one balki yishtoi, apostolatus. That's takam yikar adin. They are postulators. So let's say you have two girls who are both sisters, two sisters who are both married. That's a brother-in-law. That brother-in-law is called Giso. Giso means Rishon B'Rishon with two Balkishtas. Two sisters are both married. So that's postulators. I remember years ago we had a student here who had served in the rabbinate in England. He got smicha, whatever, in Jewish college, and then he came here to learn for smicha all over again. And then when we were in the kollel, we were learning that perek in Sanhedrin. He was surprised to find out that 10 of the marriages that he had performed were not valid because he took his brother-in-law and himself to be the kosher edim at the wedding. He never knew that he and his brother-in-law were posuleidus. Even a brother-in-law with two balkishtas. So rishon b'rishon, you say balkishtas twice. And basheni b'sheni, you only say balkishtas once, you don't say twice. So you have to make sure that the Edim are kosher Edim.
Is that why some places the kosher color turned around and facing the tzibur, the wedding?
I mean, if the people in the audience can't see, so how can they serve as Edim? The Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the page in Ebenezer quotes a Chasam Sefer, who says that even if the kosher Edim are all the way in the back of the hall and they're nowhere near the Chosen Kala, if the Masadi Kedushin is a Rav Mufok, a prominent rabbi, and everybody knows that he does it right, So even the rabbi serves as one of the Eidim, unless he's a relative. And the people in the back of the hall can also serve as Eidim. Even though they didn't see the chosin give over the ring, they didn't hear him say Hariyat Mekudeshes. If the rabbi is a Rav Mubok, so it's considered Eidus Yediyah below Eidus Riyah. It's considered as if they know that he did the Kedushin properly, even though they didn't see a thing. So he thinks that that's valid. Eidus Yediyah below Eidus Riyah, he thinks is valid. But that's only provided that the rabbi who's beside the Kedushin is a Rav Mubok. The Chasam Sefer has a tshuva like that, quoted by the Pischei Tshuva. Right, the Beis Shmuel quotes a tshuva from the Tshuvas Maimoni that it's no good, that the Edom have to see the giving of the ring. So the Beis Shmuel thinks that there's a machlekes harishonim about this, and the Chasam Sofer thinks there's no machlekes. Everybody agrees to all the cases. The cases are different. He says in this case it would be good if everybody knows Eidus Yediyah below Eidus Riyah, it would be good. That's what he claims, and the Beis Shmuel says not. So Beis Shmuel thinks that it's a machlekes harishonim. We have an institution of a Masada Kiddushin. We pick a rabbi to be a Masada Kiddushin, just like we pick a rabbi to be a Masada Haget. And the Ramon Yerideya in Hilchus Hayruasis of Heter, Hilchus Tamira Chachamim in Hayruasis of Heter, the Ramon writes that they used to have a practice in the 1500s to give special smicha for a Sida Kiddushin and special smicha for Sida Raget. In the Gemara, you have three different kinds of smicha. You have Yoyre, to paskin Isa Veheta, Yodin, to paskin Dine Toyre, Dine Mamanis, and Yate Becheris. Do you know enough? The Gemara says that Shmuel spent 18 months on a farm in order to learn anatomy, biology, well enough to know which mum is a mum kavua, which mum is a mum oiver, to be allowed to be matir for a Jewish farmer. There are many Jewish farmers today. There used to be more Jewish farmers. So today you don't make that much money. The Jews always go into the business where you make more money. So if you have a Jewish farmer, if the firstborn calf is a male, then it has Kedushas B'char Behemet Torah. Even though it's not based on Mikdosh, you're not allowed to shecht it until it gets a mum. You're not allowed to cause it to develop a mum. You're not allowed to make the mum be a dime. So that's quite a pain to wait till it gets a mum. So the Rishonim say how you sell the shutfas to the goy in order to avoid the whole din. But in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have that practice to sell a shutfas to the goy. So they had to wait till it would develop a mum. And then the din is you have to have an expert who has smicha, special smicha, to be able to paskan yata b'choris. There used to be three parts to the smicha. Yoyre, paskan isa b'heta, yodin, paskan didetar and didimamis, and yata b'choris. Does he know so much biology and anatomy to be able to determine which is a mum kavua, so you can shech the b'chor when it gets a mum kavua? So there are more rites in Yeridei, in Hilchas Hayrosi Sivheta. They used to give special smicha for Siddi Kiddushin and special smicha for Siddi Raget, because not every rabbi who knows Yeridei and knows Ebenezer, knows not every rabbi who knows how to say a pilpul on the Gemara knows how to be Masada Kiddushin. To pick a Masada Kiddushin, you're not supposed to pick the Rebbe in the Yeshiva. The Rebbe in Yeshiva may know how to say Pilpulim, but doesn't necessarily know what it says in Ebenezer. You have to pick one who's a Baki in Hilchas Kiddushin. Rashi writes in the beginning of Gittin and Daf Hei that because of that Gemara, Mishene Debetiv Gittin the Kiddushin, lo Yehela Isakim Mohem, that's why the practice developed that you have a Masada Kiddushin who's like a Dayan and a Masada Haget who's like a Dayan. That's how Rashi says. So it's based on that Gemara, based on that Rashi, that the Or Zeruah writes that it's not proper to have a chuppah at night, and it's not proper to do a Sidi Raget Balayla, because whenever you have a Bezin convening, so a Bezin can only convene by Yom. If done in by Yom, Gomer Balayla, if you started a Dintura in the daytime and it goes on and on and on and on, so then you continue into the middle of the night. But the Trilas Kviyas Yeshivas HaBezin had to take place by Yom. So that's the... If you have the Yom Shel Shlomo by the Marshal on Ksubas, that's the first paragraph in the Yom Shel Shlomo. He quotes this long quotation from the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah was from the days of the Rishonim. The Or Zeruah was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg. It was the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos. So it's based on that it, in Ebenezer, in Hilchas Gittin, they quote half of this. That L'chatchila shouldn't do a get balayla, because you need a dayan. And the Kviyas Yeshivas Bezin can't take place by Laila, and the Masada Haget should not be related to the husband or to the wife. It shouldn't be a Karev. They didn't quote the whole Or Zeruah. The whole Or Zeruah says it even by Siddi Kiddushin as well. So the Knesset Sagdaila complains, why didn't the Shulchan Aruch quote the whole Arizal? The only quota they have regarding the get, he didn't quote it, Ben Get to Kiddushin. And he writes that when he, the Knesset Sagdaila, was appointed a rabbi in Constantinople, I think he lived in the early 1600s, if I'm not mistaken. Magen Avraham quotes him, the Knesset Sagdaila. Magen Avraham is the late 1600s. I think Knesset Sagdaila is a likut of all the achreinim on tour that the Beis Yosef didn't have. Beis Yosef is a likut of all the rishonim and achreinim that were available to him. He lived in the middle, Yosef Karo lived in Tzfat in the middle 1500s. And the Knesset Sagdaila is a likut of all the other svarim that the Beis Yosef does not. So he writes that when he was appointed the rabbi in Constantinople, he was surprised to see that they had the strange practice to have chuppas balayla. Never heard of such a thing. So he corrected it and he changed it, and they have the chuppas bayom and shayin. And the Masada Kiddushin should not be related to the chasen kav. If the chuppah is going to be balayla anyway, mikra din, you can have the chuppah balayla. But the Knesset Sagdaila thinks we should be machmer for all the way, like the Orzara. So if it turns out that you're going to have the chuppah balayla anyway, so it doesn't make sense to insist that the Masada Kiddushin should not be a relative. But if the chuppah is taking place by Yom, so it may as well be medaktik not to have a relative do the Siddi Kiddushin, to be choshish for this or Zarua, that we treat the Masada Kiddushin as if he's a dayan. So a dayan is supposed to be one who's not related, not to the chosin, not to the kal. Yeah, who has the right to pick who the Masada Kiddushin is? Sometimes you have a fight. The kal wants her Rosh Yeshiva, and the chosin wants his Rosh Yeshiva, and the parents want their rabbi. All the people coming to the wedding, they don't know his Rosh Yeshiva, they don't know her Rosh Yeshiva. They know the local Orthodox rabbi. So that's a tshuva, Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland. What's the name of this sefer? Chelkas Yaakov, I think. Charles Tshuva's Chelkas Yaakov. It's printed before the Second World War. So this chelik was printed. Some chalokim were printed before, some are printed after. So he has a fascinating tshuva about this. He says there's a fundamental machloikis in the Rishonim that's quoted in Eben Ezra in Shulchan Aruch. Who's supposed to say the Birchas Eirusin? So the Rambam holds that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. The bracha is supposed to be recited by the Chosn. He's being the Kaddish Deisha. He should say the bracha. And when the rabbi says the bracha, it's Kadesh Alo Levayish Mishaini Yodea. If you have the Chassarim who know how to read Hebrew with Nekudas, will say their own bracha. Those who don't know how to read Hebrew, the rabbi will say the bracha. So then you'll be embarrassing half of the people. So in order not to embarrass anybody by the wedding, so they instituted that you should have, the chassan never says the bracha on his own, we always have the Masada Kiddushin say the bracha on behalf of the chassan. So that's the Rambam's opinion, that it's really a birchas hamitzvah. The Nadi Behuda has a suffix, Nadi Behuda is quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, and Eben Ezra Sim and Nun, so the Nadi Behuda has a suffix, what if the chassan is deaf, and the Kala is able to hear? So can the Masada Kiddushin say the bracha on behalf of the Kala? Or do you say, no, the bracha only belongs to the chassan. The mitzvah to get married, the Rambam's opinion is that there are two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah to get married and one mitzvah to have children. All the Rishonim disagree. There's no mitzvah to get married. There's a mitzvah to have children. But the Rambam holds the two different mitzvahs, and the bracha, Birchas Eirusin, is a bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, that's recited over the mitzvah to get married. So the question is, the mitzvah to get married from the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it sounds like that mitzvah is only on men. Just like the mitzvah Pirub Rivi is only for men, we machlekes hatanoim in the end of Abo Yavimtoi, we pass on that women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah Pirub Rivi. If they don't want to have children, they don't have them. But men have the chiyev Pirub Rivi. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah sounds like you said there are different girsas there. But the pashtus is, if you put together all the Rambams and the Sefer HaMitzvah, it sounds like he's saying women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah of getting married. So that's Nadi Behuda's Mesupik, whether the Birchas Eirusin only belongs to the Chassan. So if the Chassan is deaf, Masada Kiddushin wouldn't be able to say the Bracha for the Chassan. There's no Shemei Kohena. Or maybe we should say the Bracha belongs to both the Chassan and the Kala, because bottom line, they're both getting married. Like a woman can say a Bracha on a Mitzvah Shazman Grama. So maybe over here also the Kala can say the Bracha. And other Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos and Psachim and Dav Zayin, disagrees with the whole Rambam. Rabbi Natan holds that all the Birchas Eirusin is a Birchas Shevach. It's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Tosfos with the Rosh, they say it's a Birchas HaShevach, that all of the people who are present at the wedding are supposed to offer a Birchas Eirusin. You don't say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu L'Kadesh Esav Isha. We say a long Nusach HaBrocha. So that's what the Rosh quotes in the Bali. It doesn't sound like a Birchas HaMitzvah. It sounds more like a Birchas HaShevach. And all of the people who are present are Mechuyev to say that Brocha. So that's what the Rabbi Breisch writes in his tshuva. that if you hold that bracha only belongs to the chassan has the final say to determine who's going to say the bracha for me. You can't shove down my throat. The rabbi so-and-so should I pick so-and-so to say the bracha. If you hold like the Nadi Behuda's suffix, then maybe the bracha belongs to the chassan and to the kala, so they have the equal. So they have to decide who should say the bracha. But if you hold like Taisus in the Rush, that the bracha really should be recited by all of the participants, you have to take a poll of all the people there. Whom do you think they would probably want to say the bracha? The local Orthodox rabbi. They never heard of this guy, they never heard the other guy. They know their rabbi from the shul. As far as they're concerned, he's a prominent rabbi, he should be Masada Kiddush. Yeah, how do we paskin? That's a shaila. How do we paskin here? Who does the bracha belong to? So there's a Sefer Afike Yam that was written by in the early 1900s. He was friendly with Rab Chaim Soloveitchik and with the Arsameach and with all of the Gdolim in his generation. And he quotes a lot from them. He quotes heavily. So he was first a businessman. They had a lot of businessmen who were going to Madirim, Bikim, Nifloim, and then he went into the rabbinate. So the Sefer Afikeyam, he quotes from Rab Simcha Zelig Grieger, who was the Dayan in Brisk. Dayan Rab Simcha Zelig's son used to teach here in the college. He used to teach Tanakh in the college. He had learned in Slabodka. Rab Simcha Zelig had learned in Valozhin, and Rab Chaim picked him to be the Dayan in Brisk. I think he died in the middle of the Second World War. Before the Nazis had a chance to kill him. He was an old man. So the Sefer Afike Yam, the author quotes from Simcha Zelig that there used to be Masada Kiddushin in Europe and Brisk all over for couples who were absolute atheists. They were communists and everything. They didn't believe in anything. What are you saying in Baruch Hashem Kedushanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu al haroi? They don't believe in Hashem alakeinu kedushanu tzivanu. They don't believe in anything. So what do you mean you're saying a bracha for the chassan or for the chassan kala? Neither believe in anything. The answer is we have to have a minyan. You have to have a minyan present when you say birchas erusin. And the bracha has nothing to do with the chassan kala. We follow Taisvis and the Rosh that the bracha should be recited on behalf of the participants in the wedding. So if you say like that, that's what Rabbi Breish writes in his Chuvas in the Chelkas Yaakov, then the one who to determine who should say the bracha should really be the participants in the wedding. You should try to poll, you should try to figure out who would the Rav HaTzibur probably want from all those guests who are there, not to invite someone new to the wedding. From all the people who are there at the wedding, whom would they probably expect to say the Birch Harrison? We have a meaning that we recite the Birch Harrison over a cup of wine. This was introduced by the Gaonim. After we read the Ksuba and then we recite the Birchas Nisuin, so that already some Gaonim had this as a girsa in the Gemara. The Rambam quotes it like that. That was earlier. That you say Birchas Nisuin over a cup of wine, that was perhaps even in the days of the Gemara. Some had such a girsa. But the Birchas Erison over a cup of wine, that was instituted by the Gaonim. So that's why there's a big discussion in Poskim. Can I say Bar Pia Goffin, if I'm not drinking the wine, I give it to you? So by Birchas Hanenin, you don't say Yotza Moitzi. If I'm not eating and drinking now, I can't say a bracha on behalf of someone else. By Birchas HaMitzvah, since Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, so I can say Birchas HaMitzvah for you. You're putting on tefillin, you don't know how to say the bracha. Or let's say Kiddush on Shabbos, you don't know how to say Kiddush. So I'll say the Kiddush for you, because you're mechuyev to say Kiddush. But you're not mechuyev to drink wine, so I'm not allowed to say a bracha for you. What about Bar Pia Goffin of Kiddush? What about Hamotzi Lechman Haaretz of Achilas Matzah? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak says that's okay. Since he's Mechuyev to eat the matzah and he has to say Al Achilas Matzah, so I can say Hamotzi for him also, even though I'm not eating now. And I can say Bar Pia Goffin for you. Let's say I'm in the middle of my meal, I benched already, and you come, you didn't say Kiddush yet. So I can say Bar Pia Goffin and Kiddush for you, because the Bar Pia Goffin is part of the Kiddush, and you say Yotza Moitzi. So that's the Shaila on the Birch HaSeiris. And this, the Pnei Yeshua raises this issue. Pnei Yeshua has Chidushim on Ksubis, and then at the end of the Masechta, he has Chazorah. He reviewed the whole Masechta with the Talmidim, and he has the Kuntra Sachrin on Ksubis. So in the first parak in Ksubis, and the Kuntra Sachrin, he raises this issue. The vote was raised way before also. How can it be that the Masada Kiddushin says the Bar Pia Goffin for the Chosan Kala, the Birch HaSeiris, and he's not drinking the wine, they're drinking the wine. So how can that be? A Birchas Hanen, and you don't say Yotza Maitzi. The Birchas Nisuin, that never bothered them, because that's like Bar Pia Goffin of Kiddush. Because Medina de Gemara, if you have wine, you should recite the Birchas Nisuin over a cup of wine. Rambam is mefurished that the wine by Birchas Nisuin is not Li'ikuva. and Yesham Yayin, then you say the Birchas Nisuin over a cup of wine. That's the Raman Perek Yud in the Chesishas Halacha Dalet. Im Hoyesham Yayin, then you say Sheva Brachas. So you say Bor Piagofen first, then you say all the six Brachas. If there's no wine, it's not Miyakim. But at least that's, we assume, that's Medina de Gemara. But the Birchas Harrison, in the days of the Gemara, didn't exist. They didn't say Bor Piag, they didn't say Birchas Harrison over a cup of wine. So how can the Masada Kedushin say the Brach? So that was a kasha. So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik had a practice that no one noticed. Rab Simcha Zelig used to watch Rab Chaim like a hawk. He followed everything that Rab Chaim did. And if Rab Chaim would give a psak lahokel based on six tzdodim lahokel, Rab Simcha Zelig would be mekel on each one of the tzdodim alone. If Rab Chaim held that it's a svara, that's the din. Anything Rab Chaim sneezed, that's the aloch. So Rab Simcha Zelig said he never notices this. Sefer Afikei Yam quotes Rab Simcha Zelig told him he never noticed it, but Rab Chaim told him that he always, when he says the Birchas Harrison, he always tips over the cup of wine in such a way he should spill some of the wine. So when he gives the cup of wine to the Chasan Kala to drink, he licks some of the wine himself. So he's saying the Bracha Bar Piagofen for himself and for the Chasan Kala. That was his Chumrah, but he didn't want to do it in an obvious fashion because the meaning is not so. It's because he did because of the kasha of the Pnei Yeshua, but the meaning was not so. There is one of the earlier Talmidim, way older than Rab Chaim, who learned in Valojin, was Rab Valojin Yeshiva, lasted for 90 years. So one of the earlier Talmidim, probably in the days of Rab Chaim Valojin, it was maybe a little later, was Rab Yasser Laslutka. Rab Chaim Valojin had founded the Yeshiva in 1801, and then it was closed in 1891, 90 years later, 1891, 92, something like that. So the founder of the yeshiva was Rab Chaim Valojina, and after he passed away, his son Rab Bitzel of Valojina was the Rosh Yeshiva, and after he passed away, his brothers-in-law, Rab Lezer Richa and Rab Hillel, were Rosh Yeshiva also, Rab Lezer Yitzchak, known as Rab Lezer Richa. There's a sefer called Chutam Shulush, Shalos Tshuvos Chutam Shulush, the Tshuvos of the three Rosh Yeshiva in Valojin, namely Rab Chaim Valojin is Chuvis, the first third, and Rab Lezer Richa, his son-in-law, and Rab Hillel, a brother-in-law of the son-in-law, also a son-in-law. And then the Netziv was the son-in-law of Rab Bitzel of Valojin. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years of the 90 years that Valojin lasted. He got married on his bar mitzvah. He married Rab Bitzel of Valojin's daughter when he was bar mitzvah. His wife was a few years older than him. And he became Rosh Yeshiva at an old age, when he was already mature. He wrote the commentary on the Shiltas when he was a teenager, and then later he was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years of Valojin until they had to close it down. So one of the earlier Talmidim in the early years of Valojin was Rabbi Yosef Lutzk, Rabbi Yosef Paimer. He was the rabbi in Slutsk, and he was from the alumni, from the more prominent alumni of Valojin, and the alumni were members of the board. So whenever there will be an issue, they would call the members of the board. So when there was the machlokes between the Netziv and the Beis Halevi, they didn't have a machlokes. The Talmidim had a machlokes. Who should be the Rosh Yeshiva? They got along. Talmidim had a machlokes. Who should be the Rosh Yeshiva? So he was one of the members of the board who had to decide. And then later, when Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, so there was a machlokes also, there were those who felt that it wasn't right, that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik wasn't roy lekach, that only because he married the Netziv's granddaughter, that's why he was appointed Rosh Yeshiva. So I think Rab Yosef Lutzke was still alive then. So I think he was a member of the board, and they had to come and listen to Rab Chaim Shiet to determine whether he's right to say Yeshiva or not. So he wrote Shailas HaTshuvas that were... over 100 years, they were sitting around, and every time someone was interested in printing them, something always came up. And after 100 years of sitting around, they were finally printed by Machon Yerushalayim. And so he has a tshuva about this, about how come the Masada Kedushin says the Bar Piagofen for the other, the Pnei Yeshua is Kasha. So he says, Pnei Yeshua asked the Kasha, and the Teretz is that once the Gaonim instituted the practice that you say Birchas Harrison over a cup of wine, so it becomes like Kiddush, it becomes like Havdalah, it becomes like Birchas Nisuin. He says he doesn't see what the problem is. He doesn't see any problem over here. So some have the practice to do Larp HaPchaim, to spill over a little wine to drink it, because it is Kasha. Yeah. The Rambam writes that before you perform the Nisuin, you have to give the Kala the Ksuba. why do you have to give it a ksuba? Because the Rambam interpreted a Gemara in the middle of ksubas that if the kala didn't go to mikveh, so lechatchili you're not allowed to have a chupa. That's called chupa she'ena ru'i labia. Pearson, nida mahu. So the Gemara has a suffix, so the Rambam learns that's the suffix. Is it possible to perform an isuin if the kala zeina ru'i labia? So pearson, nida, she's zeina ru'i labia min atorah. So the Rambam goes lechumer that you shouldn't shtel a chupa. We don't really follow. We lechatchila we try to avoid a chupas nida, but if you can't, so we don't follow the Rambam. We would be mekel to do a chupas nida. Then you have to figure out what you're going to do with yichud later on. That'll be a headache. But the Rambam holds you're not allowed to do a chupas nida. And then the Rambam says the same thing. If it's chupas shein roi lebi amid the rabbanon, because the din is that if a husband and a wife. If the wife doesn't have the document of the ksubas, it's also labal ovo al ishtoi. Let's say a couple is married many years and they lose the ksuba. The wife loses the ksuba, so you have to write another ksuba right away. Otherwise, they're not allowed to live together. So the Rambam writes that it should be chupa haruya labia both on the level of the raisa and on the level of the rabbanon. So lechatchila she has to go to mikveh before the chupa, and number two, you have to give the kala the ksuba before you perform the nisuin. So that's why the minig developed that we read the ksuba. You could have had a chazan sing an igan, you could have a rabbi hold the drasha, you can have both. But why did they decide to introduce the hafsok between the eris and the nisuin by reading the ksuba? Because the practice is you're going to give the ksuba to the kala anyway before you do the nisuin, that it should be chupa haru'i labia. So, and you're looking for something to waste time, a little filibuster, to waste a little time. So you read the ksuba. You're going to give the ksuba, so you read the ksuba. When do the Eidim sign on the ksuba? So on the ksuba it says, we the undersigned testify that we heard the chosin say, Harei at mekudeshesli, and we'll love, honor, and cherish you and support you. That's what he said. He said, I will love, honor, and cherish you and support you. He doesn't say that under the chuppah. So the chosin tells the Eidim, sign that he makes ohedo asbaldin. So our practice is that the chosin tells the Eidim at the chosin's tish, before he even marched down the aisle, before he even did the badekin, he tells the Eidim, sign, I'm making ohedo asbaldin, that I said hariat mukadeshusli, I married her, so sign. So we assume it's ohedo asbaldin, so the Eidim can sign even though it didn't happen yet. The Ramor writes that he, in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramor lived in Krakow in the 1500s, and then Yerushalayim, this is the meaning, that they don't sign the ksuba until under the chuppah. After the chosin says hariat mukudeshesli, and he gives the ring to the kala, so then the Eidim can take a sign under the chuppah. We testify that we heard the chosin say habeli liyintu. But our practice is that we fill it out in advance before they even march down the aisle, because we assume that that's considered a hodah asbaldin. We recite Bar Piagofen when we fill up the second cup of wine. After the reading of the ksuba, we fill the second cup of wine and we say Bar Piagofen again. That's a big question. What is saying another Bar Piagofen? Just said Bar Piagofen 3 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago. You know, if you have a dramatic presentation of the ksuba, how long is it going to take already to read the whole ksuba? So that's a question. Why do you say a second Bar Piagofen? So on Pesach night, there are two practices where they say Bar Piagofen four times on each one of the Arba koises. So you only said Bar Piagofen on the first kois. The second cup of wine is covered with the Bar Piagofen on the first kois. The third cup, after the benching, cannot be covered with the Bar Piagofen from the first kois, because the benching is a Hesach Hadassar meeting. But the fourth cup will be covered with the Bar Piagofen over the second cup. So the many Sfardim have the practice, like the Mechaber, like the Sfard Rishon Rishonim, we only say Bar Piagofen twice. The Ashkenazim have the practice, we say four times Bar Piagofen, each one is another Bracha Lakos. So according to the Ashkenazim, there's no problem. Why do you say Bar Piagofen over the second cup of wine under the chuppah? He just said Bar Piagofen, it's like the second and the fourth kaisers by the Seder. Another Bracha Lakos requires another Bar Piagofen. The question is, according to the practice of the Svardim, so that's a good question. Why did they say Bar Piagofen over the second cup of wine? So they give an explanation. The Beis Yosef quotes from Rishonim that really more correct would have been that just like we recite the Birchas Hanenin before we eat the food, and just like we recite the Birchas HaMitzvah immediately before we perform the mitzvah, Oivel Asiyasam, So too, the Birchas Nisuin should really be recited immediately before we're about to do the Nisuin. So you should really say the Birchas HaNisuin and then stand under the canopy afterwards. Because we assume that standing under the chuppah is the Nisuin. Our practice is not so. We stand under the chuppah before he even says the Hariat Mekudeshesli. So that's a problem. That's a question. Why do we do that? So the giving of the ring, the Hariat Mekudeshesli, that's the Kiddush HaKesef. What is the Nisuin? The second half of marriage, what is the Nisun? What constitutes the Nisun? So the different opinions in the Rishonim, and we're chashish for several of the opinions. So the Mordechai on Ksubis, which is quoted in Yerideya and Hilchas Avelis, at the very end of Yerideya, Hilchas Avelis, they talk about a situation where Meis Aviv Shalchasen, Ima Shalkala, unfortunately it happens every so often that some close relative dies right before the Chuppah, so the Chasen of the Kala is in Avelis. So they discuss there, what do you do? So there's a Dogel Mervava by the Nadi Behuda, the comments of the Dogel Mervava on the side of the Yerideh, where he quotes from the Mordechai, the Taz, there's a long Taz quotes this, and Dogel Mervava has a comment on it. So the Taz quotes from the Mordechai and Ksubis, in the first Perek and Ksubis, that the Badekin, there are those who Rishonim hold Badekin, when the Chasen covers the Kala's face with the veil, that constitutes the Nisun. The question is, so why do we do the Nisun before the Erisin? We do the Badekin before the Chasen gives the ring. So that's based on the Mishlam Melech, has a Hoichocha, Mishlam Melech on the bottom of the Rambam, has a Hoichocha from a Tshuvas Rashi quoted by the Mordechai Kiddushin, that if you did Nisuin before Erisin, it takes effect. It doesn't take any effect immediately. It means normally a woman is a Pnuya, a girl is a Pnuya. Then when you give her a ring, she becomes an Arusa. Then when you do Nisuin, she switches from an Arusa to an Asua. If you do first Nisuin on a single girl, nothing took effect. Then when you do Erisin, you'll jump two steps in one. She'll switch from a Pnuya to an Asua. So that's Tshuvas Rashi, quoted by the Mordechai, that if you do Nisuin before Erisin, it will take effect. So that's one opinion, that the Badekin is the Nisuin. Most hold that that's not the case. The Badekin is not the Nisuin. That it's just he should see the Kala before he gives her the Kesef Kedushin to make sure that there's no mistake over him. Okay. Others are of the opinion that standing under the canopy constitutes the Nisuin. Why is that so? So that's a discussion in the commentaries on Ibn Ezra. So some are of the opinion that the canopy, the chuppah, has to be constructed in such a way that it should constitute a Tzuras HaPesach. Like in Hilchas Shabbos, it's Tzuras HaPesach for an Erev purpose. So that makes the area below the canopy into a separate room, and it's considered as if the Chasen Kala went into a separate room together. Not everybody, people today like to do shtick. So 2 months ago, I attended a wedding where the chuppah was designed by the Kala. There was no Tzuras HaPesach. It was there and there and all over the place. There was no Kana Mikam, Al Gabayim. So that's a machlekes. What is the chuppah supposed to represent? Others hold that the chuppah constitutes nisuin not because it's a tzuras hapesach, it constitutes a separate room, as if hechnisa l'rishuso, but rather because of the cloth on top, and the cloth is based on a forasta kanafecha ala masecha. That's the pasuk in Megillas Rus. Forasta kanafecha ala masecha. And the chumash it says bevigda bo kimish piris taliso aleho. In Parshas Mishpatim by the Omoh Evriya. So Piris Taliso Aleo is a form of Nisuin. So then you should really be makbid for both to make sure that the canopy should be cloth on top. Sometimes they have a wooden top or a plastic top or something. So it should really be cloth, and it should be constructed in such a way that it should be a Tzuras HaPesach to satisfy the both opinions. And then you have the Rambam's opinion that the Yichud, when they go into the private room right after the chuppah is over, the yichud is the nisuin. That's why the Maharil writes, "Umiritzim asalchasam asakala l'ched ha-yichud," that immediately following the seven brachas under the chuppah, they shouldn't spend a lot of time till they get to the yichud room. You should rush the chasen kala to the yichud room, so there shouldn't be too much of a pause, because the brachas nisuin are supposed to relate to the nisuin. Should be soon before, so it shouldn't be half an hour before. But they're going to be dancing and dancing and dancing and kissing everybody and all the relatives and everything. So that's not right. And the Magen Avraham quotes this also from the Tshuvas Rebellion Mizrahi, that they shouldn't have any pause, they shouldn't have any hafsok in between the completion of the birchas nisun under the chuppah and the going to the yichud room, because according to many, the yichud is the nisun, and you shouldn't have over the over.
Are they allowed to hold hands when you're married to the chadar
yichud? Are they allowed to hold hands when? Some machmir, the Ola Bali Atosis did it, Befeirish. And they say that it's based on Kiyikach Yishisha, he should take her. They had two minhagim, whether the chosn holds the kala's hand or the chosn holds the kala's arm. A whole aricha is about this. And the European yeshivas, they started a new thing that in Europe before the war, it's not their cheretz that the chosn should hold the kala's hand. I mean, not their cheretz. That's what all the Bali Atosis write. That was their practice. Some have now a briska chumet. It's since by machma for the Rambam shita that the yichud is the nisuin. So if she's an arusa asur la baila kenido, so you're not allowed to touch the arusa. So you're not allowed to hold the hand until after you go to the yichud room. But that was not the practice. With machma for the Rambam that we have yichud and we try not to spend so much time in between the chuppah and the yichud room. But we really hold. We did the badek and we stood under the chuppah, so we assume that she already is a nesua. The nisuin was finished already. Rabbi Soloveitchik would always be insistent that when the chassan does the badekin, usually the kala's mother stands next to her, and the kala's mother helps the chassan put the veil over the kala's face. He didn't like that. He would always scream that the chassan should do it all by himself, and the mother shouldn't help him, because there's a question, according to the Mordechai, that the badekin is the nisuin. So the pashtus says that you cannot have a shliach to do a nisuin. It's a milsa de leisa b'shliach is leisa b'tanayim. There's a big discussion in the Sefer Marcheshes. Marcheshes is a tshuva sefer written by Rabbi Henoch Egish. Rabbi Henoch Egish was the dayan in Vilna. He was older than Rabbi Chaim Oizer, and he outlived Rabbi Chaim Oizer, and he writes he learned the old style. He didn't have the briska there. He writes in his introduction, he had a beautiful style of tshuvas. He had the new style. But he makes fun of the new style of learning. I think he learned by the Beis HaLevi, if I'm not mistaken. So he has a tshuva where he points out that it seems to be a mefurish machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, where they need Eidus Likim Adava for the Yichud, for Nisuan or only for Erison. So we're usually machmed that you do require Eidus Likim Adava for the Nisuan as well. The meaning always was that the Kala stands to the right of the Chosin under the Chuppah, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Nitzva Shegel Liminecha. Some quote in the name of the Arizal that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Pasuk says in Echa, Heishiv Ocho Yemino, which they somehow understood, I don't know how, that the right hand became the left hand became the right hand, and after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Kala should stand to the left of the Chasim. But that is not the meaning. The meaning is that the Kala stands to the right of the Chasim. That's Mamish Yehorek Val Yavar. If the rabbi does know, the Kala has to stand to the right of the Chasim, he's absolutely an Am Ha'aretz. Yeah, that's absolutely so. Then in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo has a meaning that the chuppah should take place tachas kippas harekia to invoke the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram. If the girl is getting married at a young age, then you get married outside tachas kippas harekia to invoke the blessing of ko yezarecha. If she's an almana who's 65 years old getting married, she's not interested in having any more babies. So it says you get married inside, you don't get married outside. But if she's a young girl, we want to invoke that blessing. Okay, we got a daven mincha. Tomorrow we'll discuss Bishul Hakam, I think.
So come out if you're married outside, right?
Not in Hakam, no, of course not.